Okay, we're going to go to... come with me in the Bibles to... record them. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at, we're still continuing with our theme of wisdom, but I want to look at an area which I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, and you know, as I read it, the scriptures we're going to look at tonight, and as I meditated upon this, and even as I was preparing this for this evening, you know, it just excited me so much. And I put a post on Facebook that, you know, this message just almost like exploded within me. You know, because there's so much here. And there's a revelation here which I want us to see. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to read verse 8. It says this. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember, Paul writes, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now I want to read just a couple of other translations of this verse, because there's one of the things it says in the Amplified Translation, which is a translation I read quite frequently. I'm going to read verse 7 as well in the Amplified. But it says this, it says, think over these things I am saying. Understand them and grasp their application. And for the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. So there's wisdom for start. Think over these things I am saying. Understand them and grasp their application. For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. And then it goes on into verse 8 and it says this. And listen to these words. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah as risen from the dead, as the prophesied king descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. You know, there we, Paul's writing and he's telling Timothy, he says, consider and think about these things that I'm saying, and the Lord's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to give you knowledge. He's going to give you revelation in all things. But then he goes on and he says, almost like above all, he says this, he says, remember or constantly keep in your mind that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, why does he say this? Why are we told to constantly remember and keep in mind? One, there's two things here we're told to keep in mind. One, that Jesus is risen from the dead. And two, that Jesus is the seed of David. Now, why? Well, these are two principles of the Christian faith. Jesus was the seed of David. Now, many people, what we're going to look at it, as we just begin to unfold this, many people will say that they will deny this aspect. Because what this actually tells us, Jesus was the seed of David, is telling us that God became man. He was born of a woman, born of David's line. We celebrate it in the Nativity. We sing the carols and the songs about it. You know, once in royal David's city. You know, this this baby that's born of David's line. You know, he was God become man. Born of a woman. He was the Son of God. But he's also the Son of Man. And the Son of Man lived a sinless life. And he died for us. And we remembered that this weekend. Jesus had to become a man to die for us. And actually, when we say that Jesus became a man and he lived a sinless life and he died for us, actually that should really encourage us. Because as a man, as a human being, just like you and me, Jesus lived an overcoming life. He overcame sin. You know, he was tempted in all points like we are, the scripture says, yet without sin. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, became man. Listen to the scriptures in the second chapter of Philippians. It's a scripture you'll be familiar with, but I'm going to read it to you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we have these words: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, not as an angel, not as God, he was found in appearance as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We've got to remember, Paul writes, remember this, that Jesus was of the seed of David, was raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus died. But we know, and we've celebrated it today, you know, we've commemorated the fact that Jesus rose again from the grave. You know, and this was Pastor touched on this a little bit this morning and reflected upon it. You know, the fact of Jesus rising from the dead was foretold by the prophets. David mentions it in Psalm 16. You know, Jesus himself foretold it. You know, and he said this, and again, we have that great reference, and Pastor quoted it this morning, in Matthew 28, verse 6, where the angel speaking to Mary says, look, he says, he's not here, he has risen, just as he said to you. You know, Jesus said this was going to happen, this was going to take place. You know, and there are many, many scriptures in the Gospels where he says, look, he says, the Son of Man's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be given into the hands of sinful men, they're going to crucify him, but the third day he's going to rise again. He said this on several occasions. You know, the disciples didn't grasp it, they didn't understand it. But he said, and the angel said that to Mary, you know, just as he said to you, just as the prophet said, you know, just as those of old had foretold, you know, the Messiah would be raised to life again. You know, and I want to make a statement to you tonight, which, again, was touched on this morning. And if we just go to Acts chapter 13, because this is the scriptural backup for this statement. Acts chapter 13. Because I want to make this statement to you, and then we'll read the scriptures. The resurrection. And don't forget, we're talking about wisdom. The resurrection is our guarantee that God is faithful to his word. The resurrection is our guarantee. You know what a guarantee is? You know, this is something that says that whatever happens, a company will do something, put something right. If you buy a product and it goes wrong, they say that within a certain time, for now, earthly guarantees are time structured. They say that perhaps within a year or within 2 years, they will put it right. They will mend it. They will replace it. Well, the resurrection is our guarantee from God that he is faithful to his word. And that's important when it comes to wisdom. Because last week and a few weeks ago, we were looking at that we got to go and find out what God's word says when it comes to wisdom. And if God has said something in his word, you have a guarantee that he will perform it. He will bring it to pass. And that guarantee is the resurrection. Why? Because if God raised Jesus from the dead, and he was faithful to his word, then we know he's going to be faithful to his promises. Now listen to the scriptures here. Acts 13 verse 30. It says here in verse 30, it says, God raised him from the dead. And he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, or good news, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, today you are my son, or you are my son, today I have begotten you. And then he goes on, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus. And here in the scriptures we have a few Old Testament quotations which show that it was foretold. And God is faithful to his word. You know, he will keep his word. Everything about Jesus that was foretold came to pass. You know, you only got to look and examine the prophecies and see when it talks about, it says that not one of his bones will be broken. And you look at the cross and you see that, you know, they went and they broke the legs and the bones of the two thieves that were hanging on the cross. And when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. And they didn't break his bones. Now, the breaking of the bones would speed up the death process. But then it says, they looked upon me whom they pierced. And we see that neither the thieves had this done to them, but Jesus, the spear was thrust into his side. He was pierced. And it said the blood and water flowed from his body. You know, these prophecies were fulfilled. You know, Jesus was raised from the dead according to the prophecies, according to the word of God. And this is what we often understand. You know, we proclaim that God became man. God died for us. You know, and the Father raised him to life again. This is what we understand as the good news or the gospel. You know, the message that Paul proclaimed and Paul preached. Now, I've said all that to go to my next verse, which is really where I want to begin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start by reading verse 18. Now, we're talking about the wisdom of God. We're talking about walking in wisdom. And we've just looked at where Paul's... He tells us to keep these things in mind. Keep the fact that Jesus was born of the seed of David. Keep it in mind that Jesus was raised from the dead. These two principles of our faith. That Jesus died and Jesus rose again. Because in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This message of the cross. Now, you know this to be true, because you've had this experience. You've been speaking with people, and they say, oh, you don't believe all that. You don't believe that Jesus died. You don't believe this story from 2,000 years ago. You know, as you've been witnessing, you know, that's just a story that was told. But this message of the cross, what is the message of the cross? It's the message of the death and resurrection. That Jesus was born of the seed of David. He came as a man. He suffered. He died. And he rose again. That's the message of the cross. And he says this message of the cross is regarded as foolishness to the world. They regard it as foolish. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are being saved, it's God's power for salvation. Now, I want to make a statement here again, and I'm going to go on and show you from the scriptures. But where are we going to read in this chapter? The power of God. I want you to think God's power is the wisdom of God. You know, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it's God's wisdom and power for salvation. Again, just keep your place in 1 Corinthians. Put a keep your thumb in there or a finger. And just turn back to the second book of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have that great verse, which again, I often quote. And if you've been to a few of my studies, you'll know I very often quote this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But just go back one verse to verse 15. Because Paul here is telling Timothy, he's telling him that he's got to continue in those things that he has learned and he has heard. Verse 14. Then in verse 15 he says this, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, in previous weeks, we've connected the Word of God with the wisdom of God. And it says that the wisdom of God, or the Word of God, you have known these Holy Scriptures, you've known this wisdom. It says, and it's able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Word of God is able to make you wise for salvation. So when we read in Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness, no, it's talking about the message, the good news that's proclaimed. The Word of God, as it's preached and proclaimed, is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those of us that are being saved, it's God's wisdom because it makes us wise. Now, it's written in the scriptures, and we have it in the next verse in 1 Corinthians in verse 19. It says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, this is a quotation from Isaiah 29. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Oh, I love this. Because what the world calls wisdom, God calls foolishness. And what the world regards as foolish, God says it's wise. It's the complete opposite. You know, the world, you know this. The world says, and you'll hear this, it's foolishness to believe in God. It's foolishness to say that there's a God. Why do you waste your time believing those old fairy tales, those old stories? That's what they say. Foolishness. You're crazy to think to believe in God. Well, actually, the scriptures say this. It's only the foolish man that says there isn't a God. So what the world says is foolish, God says is wise. What the world thinks of as wise, God says is foolish. And the world regards this message of the death and resurrection as foolishness. But God calls it wisdom. God says it's wise. And it's his power that makes us wise for salvation. Let's move on in the scriptures. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now here we're having these two words, wisdom and foolishness, coming up almost in every other verse here in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. We're still in 1 Corinthians. Well, verse 21, yeah. 1:21. In the Amplified translation on this verse 21, it says this. It says, for when the world, with all its earthly wisdom, and it claims to have a lot, you know, you know that there are scientists, there are doctors and physicians that they say, well, this is, we've got all this wisdom, we've got all this knowledge, we've got all this technology. It says, when the world with all its earthly wisdom failed to perceive and recognize and know God by means of its own philosophy. You know, in Switzerland over these last few years, they've been trying to find the beginnings of life with what they call the Hadron Collider. And you know, as they go in, you know, the more they put into this, all their technology and money and all this thing into it, they are never going to find the answer to life in that project.
What's that thing? I'll see
this. Yeah, they send the particles around, they're shooting them around.
Make a brilliant big bang and see what happens.
That's it, and they're trying to find the origins of life. They're trying to find how it all began. Well, with all their worldly wisdom, it says here in verse 21, with all their philosophy, they failed to perceive and recognize and know God. They will never find God and the beginnings of life in that experiment. Why? Because it's beyond human understanding. You know, you've got to go, we believe it by faith. We receive what the Word of God tells us. It's spiritual, and as it says later on in this chapter. So earthly wisdom fails to recognize and know God. It's foolishness to the world. Yet, this verse tells us that God in his wisdom has chosen that it's through the foolishness of preaching the message of the cross. That's what he's talking about here, preaching the message of the cross. And it's through that, what the world will regard as foolishness, that God saves those who trust and believe in him. Now, in verse 22, it says the Jews request a sign. And Greeks are seeking after wisdom. But Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. And I will add this to the verse, although it doesn't say, if he's preaching Christ crucified, we know he's preaching that Jesus rose from the dead as well. He's not going to preach the crucifixion without the resurrection. Because he tells us, he told Timothy, that you've got to keep these two in mind. Keep them together. The death and resurrection. So he says, we preach Christ crucified and raised to life again. And this is to the Jews, this has become a stumbling block. They couldn't see it. They couldn't perceive it. They couldn't grasp it. You know, because it went against everything that they stood for and believed. And the Greeks, well, to the Greeks, you know, who were seeking after wisdom, they were looking for philosophy. This is just foolishness. It's nonsense. In the Amplified translations, it says it's absurd and utterly not unphilosophical nonsense. Yes, because it goes on in verse 24. It says, "But to those who are called, amen, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." To those who are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 25 and he says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you know that the foolishness of God is far wiser than the wisest man or human wisdom? Christ has become for us wisdom. It says that at the end of the chapter, in verse 30. It says, of him you are in Christ Jesus. Of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Christ became for us wisdom. That's why he said the wise, you know, in Matthew 7, he says, the wise hear and do what I say. Because Christ is our wisdom. You know, why consult anybody else when we can go straight to God's wisdom? We can go straight to the source of wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. You know, and that wisdom, this verse tells us, gives us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, let's just move on into the next chapter, because we're not finished with this thought. Paul's continuing. It's only man that's put this chapter break here. Because he goes on in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, look, he says, brethren, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech or the wisdom of men, when I declared to you the testimony of God. He said, because I determined, it was my purpose, it was my intention, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised again. Let's just keep that. When we see this word crucified, let's make sure we remember that Jesus rose. He wasn't just crucified, he didn't just die, but he rose again. He says, and I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, or in the wisdom of God, which makes us wise, or the power of God, which makes us wise for salvation. You know, Paul didn't preach with eloquent words. Now, I've heard some people preach and they use all the big words and they hear, and you think, well, it sounds so eloquent. But Paul didn't come with that type of eloquence of speech. He said he didn't come with excellence of speech or wisdom of men. He only proclaimed the message of the cross. That is the wisdom and power of God. In verses 7 to 8, it says here he preached it. He preached and proclaimed the wisdom of God. Let's read it, 7 and 8. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now let me, let me just read this this verse from the Amplified translation because it just amplifies and explains it a little bit. It says this, verse 7. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom. I'll stop there for the minute. I'll come on to that. You know, Paul preached, he said, what we're revealing to you, what we're preaching to you, what we're proclaiming to you is the wisdom of God. You know, and this wisdom was once hidden from man. But he says, now it's been revealed. You know, this wisdom procures for us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And there's something else, our glory. And this has been foreordained from the beginning. Now, what's he saying is, he says, this wisdom, why is this wisdom been hidden from man? Why is it now been revealed? Well, it's to do with the death and resurrection. Because until the death and resurrection, this wisdom wasn't known. Why? Because he goes on in the next verse here, he said, had it been known, they would never have crucified Jesus. You know, they never would have put him to death if they'd known the revelation of this wisdom. But what this, let me carry on and read in this scripture, in the Amplified translation. It says, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. This wisdom, which God devised and decreed before the ages for our for our glorification. Do you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about our resurrection. Our rapture. Why? We're in verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. To raise us up. You know, this wisdom not only gives us righteousness, not only sanctifies us, not only redeems us, but this wisdom, this power of God will resurrect us, will rapture us, will be raptured one day. That's the message that Paul said was hidden. Why? If the Jews had known that it had been revealed to them and they'd had a revelation on this wisdom, that Jesus was their righteousness, their sanctification, their redemption, and ultimately their resurrection, they never would have crucified him, because they wouldn't have put that, they wouldn't have allowed him to go to the cross. But it had to be hidden, so Jesus died and rose again so that all these things could come into place. Excuse me. It had to be kept a mystery, hidden away. But now, God's wisdom is revealed to us. And that's what Paul says here. He says, but now it's made known. Now it's revealed. Because it's written, I'm going to verse 9. Because it's written, I have not seen. This is, again, a quotation from Isaiah. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's the wisdom hidden. It hasn't entered the eyes or the ears or the heart of man what God had in store for those that loved him. But then Paul writes, he says, but God has now revealed them to us through his Spirit. We now have, we know this wisdom now. We know what God's got in store for us. Our redemption, our sanctification, our resurrection. He's going to lift us into glory. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. You know, the Holy Spirit takes the deep things of God and reveals them to us. So that we may know and have understanding and revelation about this wisdom. We're going to come back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, but I just want to come with me to John's Gospel. I've just got two more verses to share with you tonight. And John's Gospel, chapter 16.
Same John that was in now before.
The Gospel of John.
Always get rid of that book of John's.
In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Okay.
John 16. Look at what Jesus says here. Verse 12. John 16, verse 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is just before he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas, arrested and taken before the council. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I've still got many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Wisdom hidden. However, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of Truth, now he was talking just a few verses ago that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Comforter. He's going to send the Paraclete. He says, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears... we've had this before. This is what Jesus, whatever he heard, he did. But whatever the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, part of his ministry and his work, is to reveal to us the wisdom of God. As we read his word, the Holy Spirit quickens it and brings it alive to us. He takes the things he hears from Jesus. What did we just read in Corinthians? The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. He searches all things. He searches the deep things of God. And he reveals them to us. He makes them known to us. Wisdom revealed. Wisdom was hidden. Now wisdom is revealed. The Holy Spirit brings it alive to us. Now, well, let's go back to Corinthians. I'll just finish these two verses. We've seen already, in verse 14 tells us this, and Cheryl just mentioned it. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. Why? Because it's foolishness to him. When you try and... you can't explain spiritual truths to people that are heathen and non-believing. Because they can't receive it.
No.
It's foolishness to them. They say, well, you're crazy. You're mad. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known, here's a question, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And Paul answers that and he says, but, he says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom of God made known to us, the mind of Christ.
I have a question. We were having a small discussion this afternoon. When people are in the world, is it correct to say, in the Bible scripture it says something, we can correct others who are not saved yet. We can correct them. We can't judge them. We can correct them if they're not doing something according to the Bible. No. Even our brothers and sisters. We can't judge them, but we can help correct them to encourage them. Strengthen them.
Yeah, we can encourage and edify and build up. And
yeah.
But we have the mind of Christ. That's really the verse. I'm going to finish with that. You know, we have the wisdom of God. God reveals it to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, as we get into the Word of God, as we're seeking Him for wisdom, we want to walk in wisdom. We're asking God to lead us and direct us. The Holy Spirit directs and guides us into the truth. He leads us. And that's walking in wisdom, allowing Him to do that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your word. And tonight,